Why do I even bother?
What is it, Tom?
Gail, look at all these charges. I mean, it's not just you or me, but come on, we're spending way too much money.
Well, we have to eat. We need clothes to wear, and our kids have sports that we have to pay for. What are we supposed to do?
I don't know, but we better start thinking about it, or we're gonna find ourselves in a big... No, make that a bigger hole.
Marriage and money, it can be a great blessing in your marriage, or it can be a downfall in your marriage. It really can be. It's huge. We know in the counseling business, helping people, often money may not be the presenting problem, but it gets dragged into the session, however, because whenever we don't have agreement in marriage, we're not on the same page, we're not dealing with things, money certainly can sort of percolate to the surface. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. Along with Jennifer and Steven, we're live in our Intentional Living studio today. We got a lot of things to get at today. I'm going to bring you up to date on some prayer needs that we want to share with you that I think will be something we can all join in and concerned about for our nation and even for the ministry here. We'll get to that in a few minutes. And also, we're going to bring you up to date on where we are as a ministry and thanking you again for your support and allowing us to do what we're doing every day. God bless you for that. And we're going to talk about you and money in your marriage. And I want you to join in the discussion because this is really about you, helping you. Intentional Living is about experiencing life the way God intended. And God never intended for us to be a slave to money. It doesn't mean we always have as much as we'd like. But the reality is God provides, and how do we manage what we have, no matter what that may be in our life? So come and join us. Got a question about marriage and money? I'll help you. Or maybe you're saying, hey, here's one thing we have learned about our marriage and about money that's making a positive difference in our life. Come and join me. All right? 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. What's your one thing? Jennifer, what's your one thing?
Hi, Dr. Andy. I have two.
Sure.
I've been married 38 years. Mm-hmm. And from very early on, my husband and I had a budget. And we got that started through help from his mother. She was great at that. And we always put aside, if our employer had any kind of a match or a 401k, yeah, or anything like that. And I've worked, at a daycare that had that. So it's not just, you know, executive jobs that have that. We always put in at least as much as the company would match, and usually more than that. So that's our 10-10, or 10-10-80. But we did, by the time my husband was close to retirement, we were putting in 20%, because if you put it in before you get it home, you don't spend it.
Yeah.
And it grows.
Right.
So that was the one thing. But the one thing we did for our marriage with regard to money, and it was give each other an allowance. Well, we had an allowance that was part of our budget. I had my money that I could spend on anything I wanted, whether it was, you know, a new dress or, if I wanted to save up for something, and same with my husband. And it was really nice we pooled our money. That's how we ran our marriage. You know, whatever money came in, it went all into the same bank account. But our allowance was just for us. So anything we wanted to do that was just something that we wanted to do or spend money on.
Yeah.
And it's just been wonderful for our marriage because there was never any second guessing. I could just be happy when he walked through the door with a new tool that cost $300.
And you're thinking, what do you need that? You got 50 more of those in the garage.
Exactly. But I could be happy for him because I knew, you know what? He's saved for that because he's been watching his allowance grow little by little. And he got that because he wanted it. And same with me. I could get some, you know, KitchenAid mixer that may have taken me a year to save up for. But when I got it, it's mine. So it's not as difficult as having two separate bank accounts. If you want to do that, that's fine. I know a lot of younger couples are doing that. But we just had it as part of our budget, my category, his category. Money went in there, no questions asked. And it's really helped our marriage.
Now, did your husband ever take his allowance and give it to you out of love and respect?
He did buy things for the family, you know, things that we could both enjoy.
Oh, that's good. That's a what a guy. That's a what a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you, are you both retired now?
We are. He is happily retired. I am not.
I'm
trying to find my intention. I'm trying to figure out what God wants me to do next.
So you're unhappily retired because you want something to do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a retired nurse, and I really love nursing. It's just it got more difficult, and I will probably go back. I feel like God's pulling me that way.
Good for you. So you would say at this point, here you are, you're retired. Financial speaking, you don't have any worries. You're not saying, oh boy,
no.
You planned, here we are, we're okay.
Yes, yes.
It's a nice place to be, isn't it?
It is, and it was really easy. It was just don't, all the things your callers have said, and you know, don't spend money you don't have. You don't need the next best thing. You can get by. You can think about things. You can say, is that really a priority? Do I have the money for that? And if I don't, is it worth, you know, taking out a loan or whatever? We don't have a mortgage anymore. We have no debt at all. And we've never owned anything on a credit card because we've just always managed not to do that.
Yeah, that's good. Listen, you remind us, Jennifer, that it's our earning power. Whatever it is you're bringing in, that's your greatest wealth builder in life. Frankly, it's going to be for you and your spouse. And it's like anything in life. This is a secret, but it's not really a hidden secret. It's reality. You know it. You intuitively understand it. It's logical. A little bit over an extended period of time adds up. Now, my wife and I married when we were teenagers. She was 18. I was 19. We made a determination. I don't think we ever sat down and had a big discussion. We were kids, stupid young kids getting married, loved each other, and God's provided for all these 50 years now, right? But we were kids. But I guess we saw it in our families, or we didn't have anything. We were completely broke. So we were smart enough to say, you know, why don't we save a few pennies out of every paycheck, a little bit, just a little percentage, and make it automatic. Don't touch it. Don't play with it. Don't even remember that it's there. Just let it automatically happen. And we look back now over all these years. We're talking about compounding interest over all those years. It's pretty significant. And so my wife and I at this stage, I do what I do here because I want to be a part of the ministry. I want to be a part of your life. I know many of you go to work because you have to have the payroll to feed the family. And my wife and I are in a position at this stage where because of all those decisions early on, we don't have that kind of pressure, and we can be more generous. We can help our kids. We can help ministry. We try to be very generous because that's just how we're wired. And so let me just say, whatever stage you're in today, don't let money control you. Get on top of it. You can. Don't let it control you. You control it. And it comes down to spending less than you make over an extended period of time. We call 10-10-80, learning to be faithful in that giving, that tithing, saving at least 10%. If you're further along and need to save more, bump that up maybe to 15% or whatever. And then learn to live on the difference. 75, 80%. What's coming in, honey? That's what we're going to live on. We're going to make it work. Maybe less credit card spending. Maybe we're not going to go out quite so often. We're going to maybe dump some of those. You get all those streaming services. You ever sit down and start to add up what that is? You take your cell phone, your streaming services. It can add up. And listen, these people know how to make it add up. And it can become a big thing. And so learning to live on that different, I'll tell you what, it'll make a huge difference over your life. All right, phone lines open. Want you to come and join me. What's got a question? You got an issue going on, marriage and money? I'll help you. Or I'd love to hear your one thing. What is one thing you have learned about money that's made a difference in your life and in your marriage? 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. All right, we're going to go to a break in a moment. Before we do, three things. First, we need to pray for many of our listeners, frankly, in the Ruidoso, New Mexico area. Terrible flooding, 3 dead, homes destroyed, lives upended. And if it wasn't bad enough, we know what's going on in Middle Texas through that valley along the river. And the Christian camp and those families and those kids, plus the latest report that I have, 119 people have perished, known, and over 170 are still missing. And my wife Donna and I, before I left to come in the studio, we were talking about, we've been praying for them, by the way, been talking about not only the 119 families that already know the devastation, but the 170 that are on pins and needles and thinking, this isn't good. We need to be praying for them. Pray that God will intervene. That's our prayer, and give protection to people, to families, that His Spirit will move over this place. And thinking of that, those kids and workers at that Christian camp and others, wow, we just need to continue to pray. And by the way, there's a lot of ministry involved going on there. I've seen reports of ministries stepping in, helping, doing things, search and rescue and so on. I bet you the churches are deeply involved in this. So we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in New Mexico and in Texas. And then third, certainly not last, but certainly more personal for us here as a ministry. Even yesterday, you heard my friend, Dr. Greg Jantz, join me on the air, which was a recording, by the way, from a couple of years ago. Well, we received a call this week. In fact, it came to Stephen, that our friend Dr. Greg Jantz, who is the founder and the leader of A Place of Hope in Edmonds, Seattle area of Washington, was tragically called home. I mean, it was a tragic, freaky accident at his home on July 4th, and he perished. And we're heartbroken. Greg has been a very important part of a contributor to Intentional Living and to helping people around the world and his writing. He's one of the good ones. He's one of the good guys. And tragic loss, hard to understand, but we need to pray for Greg's wife and son and for their loss. In fact, I want just a clip talking about hope. That's our ministry, right? Greg and I were on the air some time ago, and we were talking about hope and asking the question about experiencing hope in your own life. How do you do that? Here's Greg.
You may feel overwhelmed and stuck, but that's a feeling. God has a plan. Hope comes when we create a plan. Today, maybe it's a plan for taking care of yourself again. Maybe it's a plan for serving others. But today, take the first steps to create a plan of hope. Do it now. Don't wait to make goals in a new year. Just do it now. And sometimes we need help with this, but I'm going to say it again. Create a plan of hope.
Boy, what timely comment when you think about it. How quickly life can change for people in New Mexico and Texas and Greg's family and maybe your family. Listen, this is Intentional Living. Today is the day that God has given us. We can't go back and change yesterday. We can't get into it tomorrow. We don't even know what's going to be tomorrow. But we do have today the power of one thing today. What will it be in your life? We're talking money. This is just one of many topics. What one thing could you do with money, for instance, in your marriage that would make the single biggest difference in your life? Greg, we're going to miss you, brother, and look forward to seeing you someday in heaven. Come join us. Talking about, I guess, the mundane of money. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
We know about that we're to surrender to God, right? The Bible teaches that. We know about the sovereignty of God. As I just mentioned, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, which is restraint and then action. So God is not telling us that we're not to control, but He's telling us that we're to control ourselves. So from a theological perspective, understand that control is something that begins in our own life. An excerpt from the teaching this month from Intentional Living. Thank you, members, for your support. Thank you for standing with us. We appreciate your prayers and just being really intentional in helping us carry on and helping us close out the year, our fiscal year, on June 30th. What a great help. Thank you. Join us at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or join the show today at 888-888-1717. One thing you're doing in your marriage for money. Interesting study from Indiana University back in 2023 They studied hundreds of couples over a two-year period and told half of them they needed to combine all of their bank accounts as part of the study, and the other half that they couldn't combine any accounts. In other words, half of the group, this study, would just have everything in agreement, everything in union. The others would keep it separate to manage. At the end of the two-year period, they found that the couples who combined bank accounts had stronger marriages, fewer money fights, and more confidence in their financial situation than couples who didn't combine. It seems sensible to me. Can you imagine running a business and having every department just have their own budget with no responsibility? Anybody else? Hello. I mean, an efficient, effective budgeting process in a ministry or budget, in a ministry or business, is to have everything there and managed and looked at and agreed on. Yeah, you can have them different accounts to manage and to monitor, that's for sure, but you can't be running around having five different budgets in a business or ministry, and you shouldn't have that in marriage either. Combining makes sense. This is the logical outcome of what we've recommended for years. It goes on to say that what's even more striking is that they found that this relationship was casual. The act of combining accounts caused couples to be happier and more successful. In other words, there was a causal relationship, not casual, causal relationship between the bank accounts being combined and happiness in marriage. When this research was published, the common consensus in the financial media was the obvious one. Couples should clearly combine all their accounts, since doing so strengthens marriages. Wow. Okay, let's get to our calls here. We'd love to have you be a part of the show. We're talking about marriage and money. Let's go to Chris is next in Arizona, looks like. What are you struggling with, Chris, in your money and marriage?
Well, actually, I was calling because, you know, we've been married 13 years and money has always been an issue. I worked mediocre jobs. I was able to keep my kids out of daycare, but I wasn't able to make a lot of money. It just seemed like money was always an issue. But within the last few months, between listening to Intentional Living and some other Christian financial advice shows on the radio station here, I went to my husband after praying about it on my own for a while and just told him, you know, I think that we really need to be intentional with our money. And we wanted to put our daughter in Christian school. I wasn't happy with the public school system, but I just didn't know how it was going to work. And I prayed about it, and God gave us the financial aid that we needed to be able to send her there. We are faithfully tithing, and, you know, our needs are always met. If it's a car repair and it's like, I don't know where the money's coming from, it's there. So I guess I'm really calling just to offer some hope to people, because I know what it's like when you have to choose between food and paying the electric bill. Mm-hmm. It is so great to be in a place now. I don't worry about money anymore. I don't tell my daughter we can't afford that. We say we're choosing not to spend our money on it.
Yeah, well, good for you. Listen, you had money struggles, sounds like, but you guys got on top of it and handled it. There's a sense of freedom. One of the things about intentional living we're passionate about is for you to experience life the way God intended. And God never intended for us to live in bondage. And frankly, we think about areas that we get in bondage. We can be in bondage to a relationship, to a job, to money, to food, to our emotions. And God has given us and wants for us, and his intention for us is to experience freedom. Which, by the way, is different than, you know, being a, quote, wealthy person or a financially rich person. That I know, and you know people probably that have a lot of resources that are not experiencing much freedom in their life. There's a lot of bondage in their life, and others who have much less and yet have learned to live in such a way that God gets the glory and certainly they get the benefit. All right. Let's go to Lindsay. You're next in Kansas. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. How are you guys managing money? What's your one thing?
So we communicate everything, and we do have a joint account. And any time that we want to spend money on something that's not part of our budget, we have agreed that if it is $50 or more and it's not part of the budget, we have to talk to each other and make sure that we're on the same page and we agree that it's, you know, a good way to use our resources. So just communication, no secrets, sharing a joint account, just all the money's on the table and we are intentional about being good stewards of our money. And we just communication, I guess, is the main thing, and no secrets with money. So
your money combined, it doesn't mean that it all has to be in the same checkbook or the same account. I mean, the point is it's all combined, so you know where it is. We all know how it's being managed. It's not your money and my money. It's our money. We're working on this together. We may manage it individually, but we always come together and get on the same page. And that sounds like what you guys have been doing, having an agreement that says, here's some of the rules that we have in place. If it's more than $50, we're going to talk about it.
Yep, and we have no credit cards. That's another rule that we have in place. So there's just specific non-negotiable rules that we put in place when we first got, before we got married, we talked about it. Like, do you agree that you'll never want to have a credit card? Do you agree that we'll always live, you know, well below our means so that we don't have to stress or, you know, you never know. It seems like at the drop of a hat, spouse could lose a job or get sick or, you know, just you can't predict anything. So
that's right. Well, the margin matters. You know, the Bible teaches that we should not be in subject to others or become a slave to anything, to another person. You know, what does it say in Proverbs that the borrower is slave to the lender, right? That's what the scripture says. What a word picture. Some of you may be feeling that way. You feel like that's a powerful word, isn't it? Feeling like a slave to the debt that you're hanging on to. Setting a goal, working on it. You can do it. Take some time, set a goal, get in a program. We teach 10-10-80. We're really simple around here. Intentional living, learning to tithe, learning to give, learning to be generous. Right out of the chute, you say, well, we can't do that right now. And then start where you can. If it's 1%, 2%, get started. In other words, be generous. Make it a habit. Let it grow. Let God build your faith. Start saving that 10-15% on an automatic basis. Don't if it gets into your hand, it gets into your pocket, it's very likely not going to go into a safe place or the place you want it to go. Being intentional in doing that is such a powerful thing. I hope you do it.
Nobody likes being out of control, but no one can control everything. And the circle of things we can control is actually pretty small.
How we deal with this circle of controlling ourselves is going to impact everything else in our life. I believe that 95% of our success in life, spiritually, relationally, in our marriages and our family, is in this circle.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Circles of Control, he talks about the issue of control and how we can live a better life by having the right perspective on what we control. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Mr. Kurt. Appreciate it. Listen, we're going to wrap up the show here in just a couple minutes. Had a lot going on today and reminding us again to continue to pray for our friends in New Mexico in Rio Doso with the flooding going on there. Of course, in Middle Texas, unbelievable tragedy there. And then for our friends, the Jantz family in the Seattle area. But also, I just want to say this. So many of you have been so sacrificial in your giving. And it's an indication to me that you got an idea of where your priorities are. As you're supporting ministry here and other places and needs around the world, my wife and I support a lot of different places because we believe that God's allowed us to be generous. And it's a blessing to do so. It's a great thing to be able to do that. And I thank those of you who are so generous in supporting what we do here in our ministry together, helping people to know Christ and live intentionally in Him every day. That's why we do this. And I just want to say thank you for standing with us. More can be learned about the ministry at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. We close with this.
Well, my husband and I was 40 when we got married for the first time for both of us, and he was 37, and unfortunately, I don't remember exactly how far into the marriage, but probably close to 10 years. For some reason, one day, it just hit me that I had not given my husband headship. And what I mean by headship is that I've always been the one to take care of the finances in our home. It was better serving us as a couple for me to just do the work of the finances. But I wasn't even kind of including him for a while. But once I realized that he needed headship, and what that really looks like is that with the finances, I would go to him and say, okay, this is what we have coming up. This is what I would like to do. And then get his input on where that money was going, when it was going. And sometimes, if there was a larger purchase, I would get his input. Of course, we never spend more than, you know, a few $100 or $100 without talking to each other. But once I let him have what I call the right of refusal to say, not right now for that purchase, and so I'm not always okay with it, but yet letting him have the leadership role in that, it always, always turned out for the better. And when I let go.
Yeah, first right of refusal. And boy, that puts a big load on him to think about what are my priorities for my wife, pleasing my wife, our family, our finances. Wow, very interesting. I'll tell you what, we're going to continue here on this topic. We've had a lot going on, so I want to open up the phone lines again. Come and join me. My question is, what's one thing you've learned about money? Maybe through the hard places, lessons you learned from home and marriage and your life that you want to share with others to help them. The phone line is now open. Even though we're going off the air live, we're going to record the show that was going to be airing coming up next Monday, right? 888-888-1717 is my phone number. 888-888-1717. We got a lot of wonderful stories coming up on the show. I hope you'll join us tomorrow. Boy, we got a really interesting show. Come and be a part of Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media. See you then.